Hello and good morning, everyone. It's great that you are with us on this second Sunday after Pentecost. I'm going to do a few things differently this Sunday. This Sunday, I'm going to start part one of a sermon series. But before we get to that and I show you what you will be listening to and what I'll be preaching from, I want to update you all on some announcements that have come my way. Kathy Branham had surgery, and we are hoping that that surgery went well. This week, Miss Una Bowers is having surgery on the, I believe, the Thursday, the 18th, and between 2 and 2:30. So we definitely want to be in prayer for Miss Una, as she'll be going to surgery, knee surgery, total knee replacement surgery that day. So we want to be in prayer for her as well. Also, we want to be in thoughtful prayer for Creighton Bailey, who is also reporting to have surgery, and hoping that his surgery goes well. And all of these surgeries that are taking place during the pandemic, certainly want to lift them up in prayer. We have a praise report, and during these uncertain times, we don't normally get these, but Amanda and baby Marcy is due on August 25th. So we certainly want to be in prayer for them, as that's a blessing, having newborns in this world. So we want to be in prayer for them. And, obviously we want to be in prayer for everyone of you, our church family, as, we're still in quarantine. But again, a bit of good news that we are opening up on June 28th, which will be my last Sunday with you all, but it will be a grand time, a big celebration that we'll be back in church. And I will be sending out next week in the bulletins. So please come by the church and pick up those bulletins and check out online these bulletins, because I'll be putting out there the new safety guidelines as we return back to church. So obviously we want to be in prayer for all those churches that are going back to church. Certainly today and next Sunday on the 21st, all of those that are in person gatherings, in person worship today, we want to be in prayer for them and their return as well. And this is the last thing I want to lift up in prayer for this morning, but Bethel, the Fairfield Circuit's new pastor, Reverend Ben Rogers, has been known to me this past week that his father has stage 4 cancer. In this past week, he had surgery of, I believe he has stage 4 cancer of the esophagus, but had emergency surgery on his stomach. So we certainly want to be in prayer for Reverend Ben Rogers and his family, especially during the pandemic, and all of these people that are going to get surgeries and having babies and going into the hospitals, we want to be in prayer for all of those on the forefront of this pandemic and on the ground of being in the hospital and working in the medical field. We want to certainly be in prayer for them. So as I have been doing for the past few months, since really Holy Week, what I want to continue doing is sharing the screen with you for our lesson this morning. And what I want to do is not go through all of our readings for this morning. Normally we would start with our first reading, whether that's Old Testament or Epistle lesson, and then go straight into our Gospel lesson. But today, because I want to do, with the time left I have with you all, a three-part series, sermon series, and it's called Under the Rainbow. And in our first part of this sermon series, we have a scripture from the Old Testament, and I'm going to share with you that. You should be able to see that now. Like I said, our first part of the sermon series, Under the Rainbow, we have obviously a scripture reading from Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. And certainly we're not going to go through all of Genesis to get to this passage, but we know the flood story. But here in our lesson for this morning that I have for you, I have verses 8 through 17 of chapter 9, and this is what is read, or what is said in the good book. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I am now setting up my covenant with you, with your descendants, and with every living being with you, with the birds, with the large animals, and with all the animals of the earth, leaving the ark with you. I will set up my covenant with you so that never again will all life be cut off by flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the symbol of the covenant that I'm drawing up between me and you and every living thing with you on behalf of every future generation. I have placed my bow in the clouds. It will be the symbol of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember the covenant between me and you and every living being among all the creatures. Flood waters will never again destroy all the creatures. The bow will be in the clouds, and upon seeing it, I will remember the enduring covenant between God and every living being of all the earth's creatures." God said to Noah, "This is the symbol of the covenant that I have set up between me and all creatures on earth." So for this morning, I want to read to you the beginning of the opening statement of this PBS documentary that I've been watching. I'll explain the PBS documentary to you later. But it reads this: "It was the worst man-made ecological disaster in American history, in which the heedless actions of thousands of individual farmers, encouraged by the government and influenced by global markets, resulted in a collective tragedy that nearly swept away the breadbasket of the nation. It was a decade-long natural catastrophe of biblical proportions, encompassing 100 million acres in Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas, Colorado, and New Mexico. When the skies withheld their rains, when plagues of grasshoppers descended on parched fields, when bewildered families huddled in dark rooms while angry winds shook their homes and pillars of dust choked out the midday sun. It was an epic of human pain and suffering, a crucible of dust, drought, and depression. When normally self-reliant fathers found themselves unable to provide for their families, when even the most vigilant mothers were unable to stop the dirt that invaded their houses from killing their children by dust pneumonia. When thousands of desperate Americans were torn from their homes and forced on the road in an exodus unlike anything the United States has ever seen." As I mentioned, this is the beginning statement, the opening statement to the story and the historical lesson. As you may well have surmised from that opening, the Dust Bowl. And this comes at the two-part, four-hour PBS documentary by Ken Burns, who I think is one of the greatest documentary film artists of our generation. And it's part oral history and uses compelling interviews of 26 survivors of those harsh times, and And part of the rest of it is rare movie footage, unpublished photography, and the observations of and writings of two amazing women who left behind their journals. And in it is just the raw and moving accounts of what happened during the 1930s and on the Southern Plains. The documentary is probably and most likely to be the last recorded testimony of that generation that lived through the event termed the Black Sunday and the decade-long disaster that was the Dust Bowl. And recently, I found Ken Burns' documentary while just searching for something new to watch, and I've been fascinated by the similarities to the current pandemic America and the world has found itself enduring. And to our lesson this morning, to the story of Noah and the Great Flood. Most of you, when remembering Noah's classic biblical story in Genesis, remember growing up hearing the children's story, that side of Noah's story, the Vacation Bible School story of the ark and all the animals marching in pairs of two into the boat for safety from the impending flood forewarned by God to Noah and his family. Or maybe you had teachers in Sunday school, or your parents had flip books that portrayed all the little animals going into the ark and the dove that was sent off to find land. However, if we take a closer look at the flood story, we find that it is not as G-rated as we had imagined. In fact, if we were to retell this story in all of its entirety, from Genesis chapter 6 to 10 to children at VBS or during Sunday school, we would find and discover that it's actually not suitable for children at all. In just a few chapters, the world has gone from bad to good. The world God had created and all of its magnificence and glory and all of its goodness has now turned to evil. And God regretted that the world was created, especially with God's creation of humanity. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, we find that it is said, "The Lord saw that humanity had become thoroughly evil on the earth, and that every idea their minds thought up was always completely evil. The Lord regretted making human beings on the earth, and he was heartbroken. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe off of the land the human race that I've created, from human beings to livestock, to the crawling things, to the birds in the skies, because I regret I've ever made them.'" But it says, one of the greatest words in all the Bible, "But as for Noah, the Lord approved of him." Only Noah and his family were preserved with all the animals on the ark. And when you think about it, the story of Noah and the Great Flood feels it feels like an appropriate story for us to read and listen today. The creator of all life and all of creation judging the world's sins through catastrophic rainfall and yet still preserves life. This terrible, horrifying story is full of death and destruction, judgment and punishment. Yet humanity, in the end, is forgiven in this story. And the story doesn't end in total annihilation of humanity through God's righteous judgment. We find that the clouds in the sky eventually clear. The waters that covered all land in sight for 150 days dry out by the heat of the sun. And a rainbow arches over the world's remains. Humanity's story continues, but with a fresh start and a promise in the form of a rainbow that arches as a sign of God's covenant with creation that the flood would never again occur. Our sin is serious, yet God's creative love is stronger. Our separation from God is terrifying. And I totally agree with these words from Bishop Will Wilmon. Our sin is serious, yet God's creative love is stronger. Storms on the horizon billow and brew. Floods swell from the deep in the sky. Dust clouds our view, and viruses grow and spread. And prejudice and hate blankets and consumes. Yet, so does these adjectives of swelling and billowing and brewing and clouding and growing and spreading and blanketing and consuming, so does the goodness and grace of God over all of us, over all humanity, over all the lows and highs of our lives, over the valleys and the mountains of our lives, over all of it. And after all the destruction that is said and done in our lives, we find deliverance, salvation from God's impending judgment. We find the same promise given to Noah and his family, given to us. We find that the promise of God's presence and protection, the same promise given to Noah and his family, is given to us. That presence and protection of God's word in our lives. And never again will a flood destroy the earth. Always under a rainbow, a promise is found, a promise of love above us in the sky that we can hold on to, even in these desperate times. But beyond even the story of the great flood, or beyond the story of the Dust Bowl or the coronavirus or the great protest of the 2020s and the destruction it has caused, there's always the deeper story of heroic perseverance, of farmers, of next year people, of hopeful people, of a resilient people who, against all odds, somehow managed to endure one unimaginable hardship after another to hold on to their lives, their land, their truth, their rights, and the ones that they loved. And all under a colorful rainbow, causing the black and white of our lives to be transformed into new beginnings, into newness, into new creation, into God's love shown by us and through us, God's people, people full of hope, people full of resilience and perseverance, God's people, full of love to share to the world. And under this rainbow, under the rainbow, this promise, there is love in action. There is peace to be made. There is a hope to be seen. So may we be that hope. May we who see the rainbow above us be that sign of hope the world has yet to see. May you all continue to be safe. And may you all go with the love and share that love of Christ with the world during all of these uncertain times. Amen.